First John chapter number 4, if you'll find your places in the Word of God this morning. While you're finding your place, let me say I've been humbled and honored all at the same time for Brother Josh to desire for us to be here for his special day. And then I did my best to try to get out of preaching today. I did. And then when Brother Shepherd said, well, at least we've opened up Sunday school now. We'll at least try to have Sunday. I said, well, let me teach Sunday school then. And it is an honor and a privilege, and I am humbled to stand before these men of God today and try to bring a portion of the Scripture God has placed upon our heart for you today. And I trust it'll be a help to you. Amen. As we try to honor God. 1 John chapter number 4, the Bible said in verse number 1, Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world.
Amen.
Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I have to say this, the Lord really blessed my heart years ago when we was in Shawneetown, and I was preaching in this text, and I realized that day that I'm as his little child.
Amen.
And as a little child, anybody that's got any compassion at all about them, they're going to protect a little child.
That's right.
They're going to do everything in their power to make sure that little child is taken care of, whatever the case may be.
Amen.
And I began to think and dwell upon how well God's going to take care of me.
Amen.
As his little child. Amen. The Bible said in verse number 5, They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God, he that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. Now, I really hate to not finish reading the chapter. It's such a wonderful book and chapter. Amen, but I'm going to leave off reading there for the sake of time this morning, and I will try to be brief. It's already 12:30, amen, in North Carolina, and I usually try to let them out about that time, but don't get your hopes up, amen. But let's bow for a moment of prayer, and then we'll try to bring the message that the Lord has on our heart for the day. Our Heavenly Father and our God, as we do bow before you, Lord, we do want to thank you again for the blessed privilege that we have, Lord, to be able to preach thy word. Lord, to be able to be attending, Lord, in the house of God. Lord, to be able to hear the word of God. Thank you for what you've instructed us in already this morning during the Sunday school time. Lord, how you blessed our heart on many different things that has been said. But Lord, I'm thankful, dear God, the day that you put a desire in my heart to seek after thee. Lord, I know I fail in many times in my life, Lord, to be exactly what you would have me to be. But Lord, I'm thankful, Lord, the just man falleth 7 times and riseth again. I'm thankful that the Spirit of God won't let you quit. Lord, I'm thankful, dear God, that we can continue to march forward, Lord, for the glory of God. I pray that you'd help us today as we try to share thy word with these people and those by way of radio, Lord, that you'd touch and that you'd help them. there. The special request that's been made mention of this morning, I pray that you touch them and help them in a mighty way. And we'll thank you and we'll praise you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. The Lord touched my heart some time back. I don't know. I think. Yeah, it is on my note there. I started in this chapter back on the 11th day of August and began to go through this. I really didn't mean to go through it maybe in the detail that I have, but it's not altogether been verse by verse, but been a lot of instruction verse by verse. And you know that you'll never exhaust the Word of God. It doesn't matter how much time you try to spend and how many words you try to say. Amen. But we want to try to be like Paul today and say five words that can be understood rather than thousands of words that can't. Amen. And I trust that what we will have to say will be a blessing and a help to you. A lot of this message was probably inspired by what we believe to be in these last days and the coming of the Lord. And so we preached, and the title of this chapter, we've been preaching on the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. You know, the Bible is all true. The Bible said, let God be true and every man a liar. There's not a one of us that can speak truth without God. Amen. Without His Word, there's not a one of us, and I hope you understand what I'm saying, there's not a one of us that would be an absolute truth if we went in accordance with our own way of thinking. We are all like sheep, having gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. Amen. In the beginning, and that's what the Lord teaches us there in Isaiah 53. But anyway, that's not in the message necessarily. But the Lord has given us the truth in the Word of God. I appreciate what the preacher's already said this morning about the Word of God. The wisdom Brother Herbert taught me years ago. He said, son, if you want wisdom, stay in the Proverbs. He said, if you want joy, stay in the Psalms. Amen. And victory, in other words, over trials in your life, it'll bring joy. Many times in the Psalms, when you read the scriptures there, you find David struggling and having a hard time and really in the trying times of his life and some great trying times in his life. But then God brings the victory. And lots of times in the start of the chapter, you find him complaining about the problems of life. But then by the end of the chapter, you find him rejoicing about what God has done. Amen. And they have been a great source of help for me in my life. But nonetheless, let's get into the message today. The truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. We can rest assured that the Word of God is true. We can rest assured that He'll give us the whole truth, and we can rest assured that it will always be true. Forever, O Lord, Thy Word is settled in heaven. Amen. Is what the Bible teaches us. I'm not going to deal with my introduction. I'm not going to deal with all the points today. I'm going to mention a few of them, and then I'm going to preach where I feel like the Lord wants us to be this morning. But in our thought of this chapter, of 1 John chapter number 4, we've looked at the phony in the world, the false prophets. Amen. There's a lot of that going on. Amen. And we could get into a lot of things, say a lot of things about television evangelists, about so-called preachers, and probably even some that we may know of personally. Amen. That are in strange doctrine and they're not teaching the whole truth. We can deal with that, and we can handle that in that sense of knowing that that is what is going on in the world. There's always been false teachers, and there always will be until the return of Christ. Amen. And He takes care of everything that away. But we need to try the spirits. We need to not let what the preacher already said this morning, just the words of a man, take precedence in our life. Let's make sure that it's the Word of God. I was thinking, when He gave those illustrations, I was thinking there's been times in my life that I heard somebody say something and I got to thinking, man, I just don't know if that's right. I need to go search this out. And I went to the Word of God and searched it out, found out they were right. It's not always that they're wrong, but I found out that they were right. Amen. But you need to know what the Word of God says. I believe it's the Thessalonians. Amen. That the Bible said that they went and searched the Scriptures and found those things to be so. Amen. And they adhered to that and applied that in their life. Amen. That's what we need. the phony in the world. And then in verses 4, that's in verses 1 through 3. In verses 4 through 6, we have the power over the world. And again, I'm not going to deal with the subpoints and all that. And then we looked at the passion for the world, and that's what I'm going to deal with here this morning. And then we're looking at, back home in North Carolina, we're looking at the pleasure. Amen. Proof for the world. But today I want to deal with the Lord's help. I felt like this is the thought that He wanted me to deal with, the passion for the world. The truth is, God had a passion for this world. And the truth is, we should have a passion for this world. Not the passion of enjoying the pleasures of the world, following into the lust of the world, but rather that the world might come to know Christ. Amen. And see Christ in us, as already has been stated. But I want to look at a few things here real quick, if the Lord will be our helper, and I'll get down and get out of the way. All right? But the passion for the world. I want you to notice, if you would please, in verses 7, down through verse number 11, and I'll bypass 9 and 10 right now, but 7, 8, and 11, the Bible said, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Verse number 11 now, Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Amen. Now, one thing I've learned down through the years and has been taught by both pastors that I sat under and by other men of God that I've heard preach, amen, you base interpretation upon the context of the Scripture, all right? And so I'll just say this. I'm not going to run through all the context of the Scripture, but you listen to what is being said this morning. Put it in the context of the Scripture and let God work in your heart and life, all right? But I want to say the first thing that we see about the passion for the world is the fountain for this passion. You're not going to have passion for the world unless there's something, but can I say it this way, bubbling up inside of you. Amen. When you begin to have passion for things in your life, it's because something inside of you begins to take place. Amen. If you find a mate, or if you buy a new bass boat, or if you buy a new firearm, or whatever the case may be, a new fishing rod and reel. I mean, there's a lot of things. Maybe somebody here likes golf, and when they walk by a set of golf clubs, amen, their mouth begins to water, and they begin to think, boy, I sure would like to have them. I don't know what you like as far as your entertainment. But I know every one of us, I know what you like. Amen. But every one of us has a passion for something. And that passion comes from something. And I want to look at that real quickly, and then we'll hit a couple of the other subpoints and be done. But the fountain of this passion, I find, comes from the Lord. Comes from God. If we're going to have the proper passion that we ought to have for the world. Now, when I'm talking about the world, I'm not talking about the earth itself. I'm talking about the people that inhabit it. I'm talking about not just the saints of God. I'm talking about the sinners. Amen. I'm talking about everybody that we come in contact with. There ought to be some sort of passion in our life. Sad to say, many times the passion, of skepticism and, fear overtakes us and don't allow that fountain of God to take place in our life. But if the fountain of God is in you, amen, there will become a passion in you for the world, just as God had for the world. Amen. His passion was shown, first of all, here in verse number 7, he said, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. Amen. There is nobody that has anything to do with true love unless it's come from the Lord. You cannot truly experience love without having the love of God. You can't do that. Amen. You can have, and I'll get ahead of myself right here. You can have some affections. Amen. You can have some passions because of some other reasons. But you'll not know and experience true love until you have known and experienced the true love of God. Amen. God, love is of God. In Romans 5:5, the Bible said, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts, amen, by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. I'm afraid so many people, so many times, that claim that they love God, claim they're a child of God, amen, they're not expressing the love of God in their life, amen, and I'll get to more of that in just a minute, but they're not expressing that love of God in their life, which leads me to think, amen, they're not either right with God, or they're really and truly not born of God. Because the Bible plainly says that that love of God is going to be shed abroad in their heart by the Holy Ghost. Amen. That doesn't mean that we can't get angry. That doesn't mean that we can't have ill feelings. That doesn't mean that we're not going to have problems. I'll get into that more so here in just a minute. But it does mean that the love of God should prevail.
Amen.
The very first attribute of the fruit of the Spirit is love.
Amen.
Hey man, that tells me that it's not so much all the other attributes of the Spirit, and I'm not trying to exclude or say one's more important than the other. Hey man, although the Word of God does give some things about that. Hey man, but He said for the fruit of the Spirit is love.
Amen.
The very first thing that a true child of God experiences is love. That's the very first thing. I believe that's what draws the sinner to God. Is the fact that they realize the love that God has had toward them because of what He's done for them and what He will do for them.
Amen.
So I believe that's why the Bible teaches us in Jude that some having compassion making a difference.
Amen.
Love is of God. Let me move on. God is love. Verse number eight, the Bible said, He that loveth not knoweth not God. For God is love. You can't escape either side of this spectrum that love is of God and that God is love. Semantics. I give some boys some of that word the other night for them to go home and ask their mama about. Amen. But semantics, you know, you can say love is of God and mean what I mean. You can say that God is love and mean what I mean. Amen. But there's some application there, and that's what the Scriptures is teaching us. It's not just the fact that that love is of God, but God is love. In other words, He can't demonstrate anything else but that. And you say, no, wait a minute. God says that He hates as well. But in His hatred, there's still love. That's the reason why I told you all ago, a lot of people think that if you preach on the love of God or that you do not have the love of God, if there is any anger or indignation in your life. But that's far from the truth. I want to remind you, I'm preaching on the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth. Amen. Love is not just sweeping things under the rug. Love is not just overlooking everything that happens. Amen. Love is not just allowing things to go their way and do what they want to do. Amen. Love is showing them and demonstrating to them a genuine concern for them and pointing them in the right direction. Amen. That's love. That's love. All these government figures that want to point out that families can't correct their children anymore.
Yeah.
Hey man, they don't know what the Bible says, and if they do, they're going in rebellion against the Word of God. That Bible teaches us that if we don't chasten our children and we don't correct our children, then we don't love our children.
Right.
Oh, I just love them too much to whip them.
Nope.
Oh, you don't. Oh, you don't. That ain't the message. I need to get back off of that. But you gotta love people. But love is more than just showing some affection. I'll get to that in just a minute. But Romans 5:8, the Bible says, but God commendeth His love toward us. In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Let me ask you a question. How many of them people out there that are known genuine sinners that would hate you? They would probably just as soon slice your throat as look at you. Do you really love?
Right.
Yeah. I think I think the demonstration of love, and we'll get to that more in a little bit, but I think the demonstration of love is what you expect their end to be. The Bible says that God has an expected end for us. We know that our eternal state is either with the Lord or in the lake of fire. We understand that today if we know anything at all about the Word of God. But what is our expected end for others? God's expected end for us was that we would become the sons of God. Amen. That, and not everybody's going to get saved. I understand that, but that's His expected end, and that's why He sent His Son, amen, to die for us, is that those that will receive Him can become the Son of God. Amen. So we find that God is love because He commended that love toward us. In other words, in spite of ourselves, God still made a way. I want to ask us a question today. In spite of that sinner that we come in contact with, are we still making provision for them to get to know the Lord? I can't save them. You can't save them. I hope you understand what I'm trying to say without going into too much detail this morning. But what I am saying is, are we inviting them to the house of God? Are we giving them the Word of God? Amen. Do we show a genuine concern for their soul? Amen, that they might not say, well, I ain't going down there with that bunch of hypocrites. Yep. You know, that is a problem. Yep. I know it's a flimsy excuse for people, but that is a problem. Amen. They see us come to church and act like we're holier now, and they see us out in the world and act like we're the devil. Amen. Brethren, these things ought not so to be. Amen. Well, let me go on. The Bible said not only love is of God, and God is love, but God so loved us. And you can't say that without quoting John 3:16, for God so loved the world. So loved the world. Not just loved the world, but so loved the world. Adds that emphasis to it. He adds that attention drawer to it for us to say, well, what does that mean? Hey man, in other words, if we say to our mate, I love you so much, or to a fellow brother or sister in Christ, I love you so much, when we use that term so, then that means there's an action to come into place. And God said He so loved us that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Amen. Thank God He loved me. Amen. Verse number 11, beloved, if God so loved us. If He so loved us. Let me go ahead and get ahead of myself. Can I say this? Then why can't we love one another? If God so loved us, then why can't we love one another? Contrary to the philosophy of this world, love is not only defined by affection, by attention, or by awards to individuals, but it is also defined by chastening and correction. I'm not taking away from those other things. Amen. We love someone, we show them attention. We love someone, we give them affection. Amen. We love someone, we do things for them. We buy things for them or build things for them. Action. But there comes a time that chastening and correction has to be done. Well, I don't like that. Well, I don't either. The Bible plainly tells us in Hebrews 12 that is grievous. Amen. But it is for our betterment. Amen. And it will bring joy in the end. Amen. I'm afraid that we've come to a place that we're living in the right now, and we're not looking at the end of this thing. Amen. I don't want to get into a lot of different scenarios, but you know the stories of people that worry about what they can get right now, money-wise, or whatever the case may be, whereas if they thought the long term, they would maybe be better off. Yes. Amen. Ain't no maybe to it. They would be. Amen. But now we see not only the fountain of this passion for the world, but the favor of this passion for the world. Verse number 9 and 10, the Bible said, In this, what is in this? The love of God. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Amen. The favor of this passion for the world. Notice what God wanted for the world. I see, first of all, the pity in this favor. In verse number 9, the very first part of it, notice he said, in this was manifested the love of God. Amen. In this was manifested the love of God toward us. Amen. Hallelujah. The Bible tells us here in Titus chapter number 3 and verses 4 through 7, but after that the kindness and love of God, our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done. That ain't why God showed up on our doorstep. Can I say it that way? That ain't why God knocked on our heart's door. It wasn't because of what we'd done. It wasn't because of what we could do. It's because He loved us. Amen. 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 And the Bible says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Verse 6 says, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. God showed us pity. That's that mercy. I thought about this the other day. Hadn't looked at it necessarily like this before, but you know the scepter, the king holding the scepter, if you marched into that king's presence without him holding out that scepter, you were subject to be put to death. I don't know if it was automatic or if it was up to the king's discretion, but you were subject to be put to death. And I began to think about that the other day. Somebody had made mention of the scepter and the king and preaching in one of the messages. And my mind immediately went to Hebrews chapter number 4. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. Now we couldn't do that. Amen. Under normal circumstances. But notice what he said, that we may obtain mercy. Isn't that what happened with Esther? Amen. She barged right on in there to the king and said, King, I got some matters I need to talk to you about. He showed mercy, received her to himself, and listened to what she had to say. And that's what the Bible said in Hebrews 4, that we may obtain grace to find help in time of need. Amen. Hallelujah. I see the pity in this favor. I see the purpose in this favor. The Bible said in verse number 9 as well there in that second part, he said, that we might live through Him. You know in the book of Ezekiel that God plainly says that He takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Amen. God has made all the provisions necessary. Amen. There's nothing we have to add to. There's nothing we have to take away. Amen. God has paid the price in full. Amen. And sent us His Son that we might live through Him. Well, you know John 10:10 says, I am come that they might have life. Amen. But He didn't stop there. Thank God that we can be saved by the good grace of God and know that we're going to spend eternity in glory with Him. That's a wonderful thought, and I think a lot of people, amen, have come to that place. Well, I'm saved. That's all I got to do. That's all I got to worry about. I've escaped hell. Well, it's a wonderful thing to escape hell. It's a wonderful thing to be saved, but there's more to it than that. He said, and that they might have life and have it more abundantly. Amen. Brother Shepherd teaching and preaching on that this morning. Hey man, if you want that abundant life, you're going to have to seek after Him. Ain't no doubt about that. Hey man, He just don't give out those special favors. Can I say it that way? To those that aren't seeking after Him. Amen. Let's see the purpose in the fact of His passion for the world. And then I see the pleasure in. This is what I really wanted to try to get to this morning. The pleasure in this passion. The Bible said in verse number 10, herein is love. In other words, this is what is contained in love. This is what you need to know. This is what you need to understand. Herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Amen. Notice now what the Bible says about this. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter number 53 and verse 10 and 11, yet it pleased the the Lord to bruise him. Wonderful chapter.
Yes, sir.
But to see what our Lord went through ought to humble us.
Amen.
It ought to cause our hearts to become broken and contrite. Amen. It ought to cause us to weep our way to thankfulness to God. Amen. When we begin to really see what God put His Son through. Amen. Himself manifested in the flesh. Amen. That He might be able to take pleasure in His purpose for this world. Amen. I want you to notice here what He said. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise Him. He hath put Him to grief. When thou shalt make His soul an offering for sin, He shall see His seed. He shall prolong His days. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in His hand. Verse 11, He shall see the travail of His soul and shall be satisfied. By His knowledge shall My righteous servant justify many, for He shall bear their iniquities. I see the pleasure in this passion for the world. I see the fruit. Amen. The fruit. What are you talking about, preacher? Well, so many times we, in the favor of God, I said we dealt with His favor, we dealt with the pity, we dealt with the purpose, and we dealt with the pleasure. But in the fruit of this passion, what is the finished product? What is the reaping? What are we going to see out of this passion for the world? Now, I'm primarily, the application, of course, still is God toward us, or the interpretation, but the application this morning I want to deal with is our passion for the world. What is the end result? What is the fruit to be obtained by this? The Bible says in verses 7, 8, 11, and 12, again, I'll read some of it, but not all of it here together at one time, but the first fruit of this passion for the world needs to be on display. You got to display the love of God. If all you ever do is display hatred and anger and, you know, shunning people, avoiding people, then how can you expect them to ever see the love of God that has been bestowed in your heart? How can you ever expect them to experience the love of God that you've experienced? Amen. If there's not a display of love. And, you know, a lot of people like to say, well, you know, Jesus was God in the flesh. I mean, He was perfect. And, you know, and many times we give Him example. He is the perfect example. He's the pattern for our life. He's who we're to model our lives after. But because I'm human, and because I know how some humans think and what they have said to me, I look for human illustration. People are not satisfied with the fact that God gives us a perfect illustration. So He gives us a human illustration for us to understand more so. And I want to look, if I may, in the book of Acts in chapter number 7 this morning. The book of Acts chapter number 7. A display of love, church, will help us, amen, to display to our passion for this world that they might see Christ in us. Brother Shepherd said it this morning that if they're going to see Him, they're going to have to see it in us. And I'll get to that again here in just a second. But the truth of the matter is, we are. The songwriter wrote years ago that we're the only Bible some people read. And there's a lot of truth in that. We're the only God that some people see. I mean, we're the only reason for our religious life, if you want to put it that way, that some people see. And when they're not seeing the right things, then we're driving them away. A display of love. The Bible said in verses 7 and 8, let us love one another, everyone loveth, and he that loveth not. All right, He talks about that in our text. But in Acts 7, verse number 51, the Bible says, I want you to notice here, and the reason why, I didn't know all the reason why, but this is what God gave me as far as Scripture, and I only primarily dealt with the last verse. But God can I say, draw my attention back to this during the message when I preached it originally, amen, to see what was going on in the first part of this, amen, with Stephen. In verse number 51, I want you to notice again, love is not always telling you how good of a person you are and necessarily how much God loves you. Amen, sometimes it comes from a rebuke, a reproof, a correction, a chastening. And notice what Stephen tells these people, ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did, so do ye. Now, I'm not saying it's got to be that way in every time you approach a sinner, but there's sometimes that when you approach sinners, you're going to have to deal with their sin. Amen. Amen. Now the Bible said in verse number 52, which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted, and they have slain them which showed before the coming of the just one, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it? When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. It was just a simple message and truth of the Word of God. You fought against God. You fought against His men. You're resisting the Holy Ghost. You're not willing to come to Christ. You're not willing to believe that Christ Jesus was the Messiah. He's preached to them the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. But yet they're running after Him to stone Him. Amen. To gnash upon him with their teeth, rather, in verse 54, and then they stone him. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. And I want to say to all of us, amen, we're not going to attain what I'm preaching right now until you get your eyes on the Lord and you know you keep them there. You're not going to get where I'm talking about this morning by not looking to Him. I don't care who it is, me, you, or anybody else. The only way Stephen could do this was because he looked to the Lord. Amen. Verse number 57, they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul, and they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice. You'd think he would say, Lord, take me out of here. Lord, strike them dead. That's not what he said, was it? He kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, saying, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. I believe I remember somebody else saying that. I believe while he was hanging on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.
Amen.
I think if we get our eyes on the Savior like we ought to, we can have the fruit of passion. Amen. A display of love for the world. Amen. I'm talking about the right kind now. That don't always mean that, again, that you just overlook their sin. But you try to approach it the right way.
Amen.
You try to let them see God in you. You believe what you want to believe about it. Amen. I can't dogmatically say this, but I believe that's why Saul ended up getting saved on the road to Damascus. I don't believe he ever got away from this right here. I believe he saw the love of God in Stephen's life, and I don't believe he could ever get away from it. Amen. I believe it convicted him from that time forward. But notice here, the Bible said that he said, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Amen. The display of the fruit of love. Then we see the divine love. In passion for the world, there has to be the evidence of that divine love. I've already kind of talked about that right there. But you know, it's easy for us to love those that love us. It's easy for us to do things for those that do things for us. And I'm not saying that's entirely wrong. I don't believe that. But I also know that according to the Scriptures, if we have a divine love of God in us, then there's going to be times that we're going to do things for those that cannot do for us. The Bible says in Luke 6:32 through 34, for if ye love them which love you, what think have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. And if you do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same. And if you lend to them of whom ye hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. This may be a crude illustration, and I don't mean to pat myself on the back by any means. But I've got one particular man. I mean, there's been some other instances by some of the other drivers. But I've got one particular man at the workplace that he messed up quite a bit. Not catastrophic, but he messed up quite a bit just doing things because of a lack of paying attention. What you preached this morning. And I finally ended up having to call him into the office and discuss these matters with him. And wasn't hateful. He wasn't hateful with me. And when he got done, he said, Joy, he said, I'll do better, I promise. He said, I'll get this taken care of. It wasn't too long. Maybe the next day, another day after that, he texted me. And he said, Joel, I just want you to know I appreciate you being firm and standing for what is right, what we need to have, what needs to be done. And he said, letting me know that you care about the business, about us as drivers, and the clients that we haul. And to this day, every time he sends me a text, he says, always your friend, Roy. Always your friend. Roy, I'm telling you, God allows us, church, sometimes, I hate to give these illustrations, I really don't want you to think I'm patting myself on the back, but we had a man come to the church services some while his church was shut down during the COVID-19 pandemic there, and he came to some of our services, and he come to me one Monday. And he told me, he said, I was that close to leaving my church and coming joining up with you. He said, everything you have been preaching while I've been coming has been exactly what I needed in my life. Amen. And he said, Joel, he said, whatever you do, don't quit here. He said, you have no idea what kind of an impact you're making. Amen. Don't quit. I want to quit. I've expressed that multiple times. I guess I shouldn't say I don't like my job. I like my job, but I don't like the headache. But I feel like on their testimony, and they're not the only two, but I feel like on other people's testimony, I feel like God has used us to try to make a difference.
Amen.
And I'm thankful for that. And it's only because of His love.
Yes.
The divine love of God. In verse number 11, the Bible said in our text, if God so loved us, we ought also. Now I want to remind you, He's not just talking to the saved there in 1 John 4. As in, the ones God loved.
Right.
So it's not just the saved that we're supposed to love. Isn't that right? I believe I'm in the book. We're supposed to love this world as well. Sinners.
Amen.
In this world. Amen. Notice here. Again, I've already read 6:32 through 34. I'm not going to do that again. But notice here thirdly, and I'll be done. But the defining love. A defining love. We not only see the fact that God has given us a display of love. God has given us a divine love, or that we ought to display love, and that we ought to have a divine love. In other words, a love that will love them even though they don't love us. All right? But then a defining love. The Bible said in verse number 12 of our text, His love is perfected in us.
Amen.
We ought to have a defining love. Is your love defined? It is. But I ask you if it's defined as a godly love. I want to say first off, it manifests our faith. A defining love manifests our faith. Notice what the Bible said in verse number 12. No man has seen God at any time. People need to see our faith by the love that we have for God. It defines us. It defines our faith. It manifests our faith. That defining love will cause us to have a manifestation of faith in our life. No man has seen God any time. It manifests our fellowship. The Bible said if we love one another, God dwelleth in us. In our text, right? I would hate to say that I love God and I love the people of God, but I can get along better with the wicked. I would hate to think that. Amen. I won't spend a lot of time there. I know I've mentioned it several times, but it manifests our fellowship. Hey, evil communications corrupt good manners. I'm not saying that a saved person can't get caught up with some lost people. I'm not saying that. But I am going to tell you that it's going to manifest what you really are.
Yes, sir. Right.
And it's not going to be the right manifestation to the world if you're caught up with loving the people in the world and the things of the world in the wrong manner. You understand what I'm saying? Socializing, I call it. Amen. The Bible said in John 13, 34 and 35, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Amen. In other words, he looked over their failures, not in the looking over, sweeping under the rug, doing away with that away, but he still loved them in spite of their failures. You know, it's easy for us to love our mate when they have failures. It's easy for us to love our children when they have failures. It's easy for us to love our siblings when they have failures. It's easy for us to love our parents when they have failures. But why can't we love one another when we have failures?
Right. Amen.
Because we don't want to. Okay? We do what we want to do. Isn't that right?
Yes, sir.
He said, verse number 35, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples if ye have love one to another. Again, I'm not saying that you're lost, but you're not being a true follower of Christ if you can't love one another.
Right.
Isn't that right?
Yes, sir.
You're not following Christ because Christ loves, amen, his own. Amen. Notice now, it not only manifests our fellowship, but it manifests our finish. The passion for the world will cause us to have a fruit that will manifest our finish in that defining love. The Bible says, teaches us here in verse number 12 again, that his love is perfected in us. Amen. 1 Corinthians 13, 13, and now abideth faith, hope, charity. These three. But the greatest of these is charity.
Amen.
I had a preacher ask me the other day, he said, he invited us over to preach the other night, and he said, I was going to ask you if you didn't really have something burning on your heart, if you'd preach something out of 1 Corinthians 13 on that charity. He put them on his sound audio and, or whatever you call that stuff, and had a lot of response from it. I'm thankful for that. But I'm afraid many people have left off what it truly means to have Christian charity.
Amen.
Amen. Including myself, there's been a lot of failures in my life in regards to it. There's been times I could have handled things differently. There's been times that I could have said things differently. There's been times that I could have reacted differently. Amen. And I'm talking about even to my wife, my children. But sometimes you don't see that until after it's done happen.
That's right.
And sometimes when you take such a stand to try not to compromise, and I'm not making an excuse, but it's easier to go on the other side. The last thing that I want, my family, they might not agree with me on everything. They might think sometimes that I hate them. But the last thing that I think my family can do at this point in time and that I don't want to happen when I die is that they say Daddy compromised.
Right.
Might have been a little hard on some things, but he didn't compromise.
Amen.
I want them to know it was because of my love for God. Even though sometimes that zeal might run over the knowledge, I want them to know that it was for my love for God. The Bible said in 2 Timothy chapter number 4 and verse 7 and 8, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. Boy, that sounds good for all us preachers, don't it? Because that's Paul writing to Timothy. But listen to me, church. It wasn't just for the preachers. And not to me only, he said, but unto all them also that love his appearing.
Amen.
See, our passion for the world will help us to manifest a good finish.
Amen.
It will help us to manifest a good finish. I need to just stop there. I hope you got the gist of the message today. The truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth.
Amen.
God has never given us anything wrong. He's never steered us wrong.
Right.
He's never told us wrong. He's never treated us wrong. I had a young man, a little younger than me, the other day that had some real hurt and sorrow in his life. He lost a loved one, his grandmother that raised him. And my understanding is taught him about God. His mother was not the proper mother. And his grandmother raised him and she got sick, cancer, and passed away. And he caught me one morning as I was coming into work and as I parked my vehicle and he was in the van right there beside where I parked and I called him by name, asked him how he was doing, and that's when he broke down and teared up. I'm going to say, I'm not doing too good. And he proceeded to tell me what I just told you. And he said, Joel, I don't understand why God would do that to me. He said, why would God take somebody I love so dearly and that has helped me in my life, raised me, and taught me about God? Why would he take them out of my life? And I called him by name and I said, honestly, I do not have that answer for you. That's in the mind of God. But I said, I do know that there comes a time for all of us to die. And after that is the judgment. And that we need to be ready to meet him. And I said, I know a lot of people get bitter at God when they lose loved ones, especially close loved ones like that. And they'll get bitter with God. But I said, if I can help you with any one thing, take this to heart. Don't get bitter with God.
Amen.
Look for what God has allowed her to do for you in your life. What she has taught you to be. What she has told you about him. And she finished her life still believing that. So let her instruction to you hold true in your life and you go with God.
Amen.
Instead of getting bitter with God. Amen. I don't know to what it will avail, but that was the answer God gave me at that time to give to that man. So many times, church, we do not manifest our finish properly because we have not got the right passion for the world like God did.
Amen.
He gave his son so that the world could come to him. Is that what we're demonstrating to others? God loved us enough. He allowed us to hear the gospel of God, granted us faith and repentance. Amen, that we might receive him as our personal Savior and put us in the family of God. He didn't put us in there just to say, I'm a member of God's family. He put us in there to be a witness to this lost and dying world.
Amen.
Amen. And so I encourage you this morning, let the love of God go on display.
Amen.
In your life. Let it manifest all these things in your life that sinners may come to know God as their personal Savior as well. Our Father, our God, as we bow before you, I thank you for your help today. Pray that you take the Word of God and use it for your honor, your glory. Bless this pastor, bless this church, and Lord, do that work that needs to be done for each and every one that's listening by the way of radio as well. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Pastor, you come.